This is the Barbecue Central Radio Show, which is recorded live each Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Barbecue Central Radio Show is being brought to you by The Barbecue Guru, the original creators of automatic temperature control devices, now offering four different models for you to choose from. Rest easy knowing that The Barbecue Guru is controlling your temperature so you can get on with your life. Visit bbqguru.com or call 800-288-GURU for more information. And by Fred's Music and Tasty Licks BBQ Supply, your online barbecue and grilling superstore. From cookers to grills, wood chips and chunks, and everything in between, also be sure to try the Tasty Licks barbecue brand of rubs and sauces. Check Fred out online at tastylicksbbq.com. And by Stephen DeFranco Jewelers. Located in beautiful Willoughby, Ohio, Stephen DeFranco Jewelers is a family-owned and operated business looking to service the great folks of the barbecue and grilling world. Get free shipping and big discounts by mentioning my name and the term Barbecue Brother. Check out their inventory by visiting StephenDeFranco.com. And by Butcher Barbecue, with 30 years of experience in retail, wholesale, meat markets, food service, and customer service. Using that experience, everything they do and sell at Butcher's Barbecue comes from real-world knowledge. Check out their award-winning spices, sauces, marinades, and injections by visiting ButcherBBQ.com. Always trust your butcher. And by the Barbecue Institute. Take your barbecue to the next level with the Barbecue Institute class. Pitmaster Conrad Teddy Bear Haskins uses his years of catering and restaurant experience combined with food science and smoking secrets to help you understand how to improve your barbecue. Visit BBQInstitute.com and register for classes today. And by Barbecuer's Delight Wood Pellets. Making pellets since 1994, two-thirds oak, one-third flavor wood, giving you that sweet, succulent smoke that you're looking for on your meat, both for grills and bullet-style smokers, and of course, in larger quantities for your pellet-fed smokers. Find them at bbqrsdelight.com.
With competitors on the barbecue circuit, grill manufacturers and pit makers to advice on cooking brisket and ribs. You'll find it all right here on the Barbecue Central Show. Your host, Greg Rempe, is a backyard barbecue and grilling fanatic and loves to talk about his passion, which many of us share together. You can learn more about barbecue and grilling by visiting the website, thebbqcentral.com. Now, let's get in the smoke. Here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
Hey, gang, welcome to another edition of the Really Big Barbecue Central Show. Yeah, it's the show that talks about all things important to the world of barbecue and grilling. Broadcasting live and direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city of Cleveland, Ohio. I'm your program host, Greg Rempe. Happy to have you aboard here on this Tuesday. Look, if it has anything to do with outdoor live fire cooking, grilling, barbecue, competition, not competition, you're going to find it here right on this show, and you can get in on the show two ways if you want to do it. 877-448-0433 is the toll-free number to call. You can also email the show if you'd like to, greg@thebbqcentralshow.com, 877-448-0433. Greg@thebbqcentralshow.com. Those are the ways to get in touch with the show. If you want to just lay out and listen to the show for entertainment value, listen to the great interviews I have lined up, that's fine. It's all on you. Absolutely encourage you to do just that. If you didn't get the newsletter, let me point out to you what's happening over the next 2 hours or so. Coming up in about 13 minutes from now, a guy who has been on one hell of a hot streak, Harry Sue of Slap Yo Daddy Barbecue, will be joining us. I believe riding a strike of four in a row. We'll confirm that with Harry here very soon. Four in a row, very impressive. And he did it at a thoroughbred racetrack, which, of course, near and dear to my heart. Love the ponies out there in Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. So we'll talk to Harry about his success that he has had. Of course, he's always been pressing to get out there towards the Jack Daniels as well. 35 past the hour, the smoking guitar player Fred Bernardo will be in. TastyLicksBBQ.com is his website. Fred is a recent entrant into the world of competition. I believe he gave us that insight towards the end of last year. He held a huge competition cooking class in Shillington, Pennsylvania over this past weekend. So I got a bunch of pictures to go over, and we'll see what's happening with Fred 35 past the hour. In the second hour, we're going to be talking with Bruce Bjorkman. You might know him as Mr. Barbecue. He does have his own terrestrial syndicated radio show that talks about barbecue and grilling outdoor, cooking outdoors with Mr. Barbecue. Which is up and down the Pacific Northwest. He's also the VP of, or the Director of Sales and Marketing for Mac Grills. Mac winning yet another award at the HPBA Expo this year. Now I believe the only pellet grill manufacturer to win top honors in alternative fuel, which would be pellets, for 2 years running. So we're going to talk to Bruce about Mac, what it means to win that award twice in as many years, and then kind of give us a little refresher about the grill. What separates it from some of the other pellet cookers that are out there on the market. And then, of course, we'll talk about his radio show as well. And then to close out the show, which would be 35 past the hour of 10, we're going to do a little step back, a little remembrance for a true barbecue visionary, a legend in the industry. And if you know anything about barbecue, especially if you've kind of ventured into this niche that we cover here on the show, you've probably heard in some form or fashion that the creator of the Barbecue Guru, the company, Thermal Megatech, which was outside of the barbecue industry, Fred Perkel, a.k.a. Shotgun Fred, passed away this past Friday. He was suffering with ALS and finally took him as victim. So we'll remember Fred on kind of a sad day here in the show because Barbecue Guru has been the longest running sponsor of the show. Obviously, Fred was a big part of that. And deciding to make that first effort to latch on to a seedling show that he didn't really know if it would have legs or not. And I did an interview with him back in 2005, which we'll replay some excerpts of. I will also share some information with you in regards to what Fred's looking to do and some of the little background on him. So that's how we'll close out the show. Maybe, not as exciting and fun as normal, but definitely something that I want to do because Fred was really touched a lot of people in the barbecue community and, of course, the show personally. So that's what we have on track tonight, 877-448-0433, greg@thebbqcentralshow.com. All right, new Survey Tuesday questions coming in. You can weigh in through the email. You can also call in if I can fit them in. Of course, that best segment would be at the 10 o'clock segment, which is typically open. Here are your survey questions. Question number one. What is the best barbecue pit on the market today? Question number two. Your favorite barbecue sauce? Mine is Butcher's sweet barbecue sauce. Just had some for dinner today. Third question. Who will win the World Series this year? Cleveland Indians. Save you the trouble, guys. Save you the trouble. So, if you want to weigh in, I will try. It's going to be hard for me to follow on the chat room, so I apologize. If you want to send them in through email, I'll get them in. Also, you can call in. We can do it over the phone, however you want to do it. Let me go over a couple of contest results here because there was some bigger events that happened this past weekend. We're now in the middle of March, basically, so it's really going to start to ramp up now. A lot of competitions are going to be coming in each and every weekend, not like the one or two that were happening over the last couple months. There was a Sam's Club event that took place over the weekend out in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Coming out of that field, Ripple Q took grand champion. Smoking in the Dark was reserve. And then you have third through six because top six move on. Smoking in the Dark, Brew and Barbecue, Fire Dancer Barbecue, Government Park, and a friend of the show, Iowa Smokey D's. Darren Worth, he'll be moving on to the regional event. Two notables not moving on, which means they're done for Sam's Club Tour of 2012 because you can only enter one local event. And if you don't move on from there, you're done. CancerSucksChicago.com, Pitmaster Scotty Johnson, and believe it or not, Mike Davis, Laudable Barbecue. Beat it. Not in the top six. You are done. Thanks for coming. Tough, man. A lot of people showing up. A lot of different regions. So got to bring your A game to each and every section of the Sam's Club. Mobile, Alabama had a barbecue championship and hog festival. There were 57 teams in total there. Longtime competitor on the show, somebody who I have been chasing. Wild Bunch Butt Burners took grand champion. QOW took reserve. They're having a very good year all of a sudden. Notables out of that, Chick Swine and Bovine third, BBQ fifth, 420Q took sixth, Serial Griller 16th, and ButtRub.com took 22nd overall. And then you have the North Kansas City, Missouri State Championship. That, of course, taking place in North Kansas City, Missouri. 93 teams.
What?
93 teams what? Took place in that one. Sweet Beaver Barbecue took grand champion. Smoke and Ours took reserve. Other notables in that huge field for just the standard. True Bud Barbecue, they're having a very good year again. Pellet Envy, True Bud was third. Pellet Envy took 10th. Rod Gray, Big Mo Quezon, Ponderosa Barbecue 16th, and Blues Hog took 32. You met 93 teams. When they say that they definitely have some contests out there in the MoCan area, they ain't lying now. 93 teams on your weekend. How about that? All right. Don Geiger weighing in. Favorite pit, Backwoods. Favorite sauce, Drapers. And New York Mets will be winning the World Series. I don't think New York Mets will be having a tough time making it through the season financially, John, and you know that. As a matter of fact, I have the owner of the New York Mets, sir. If I could ask you, I know this is kind of a personal question. Can you tell me the amount of money you have in your pockets right now?
Nothing.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
I knew it. He's got no money. Yeah, that's ways to not run a professional franchise include not having any money. Huck Jr. weighing in. Ugly Drum Smoker. That's a very popular one because you can make it yourself. Draper's Barbecue winning again for sauce. And the Phillies winning the World Series. Not up on the Phillies this year. I know they have good pitching. I know they shanghaied Cliff Lee from us. Well, Texas did, but then he went back to Philly. Definitely, Jeff Stiff weighing in, Operation Barbecue. Are you aware of the work that Jeff Stiff and all those people with Operation Barbecue Relief.org have been doing? Spice Wine for cookers, Blues Hog for sauce, Kansas City Royals. They're not getting past the Indians. Sorry to say it, Jeff. I don't want to break the news to you, but you know things aren't looking too well for the Royals because you have to put up with, yes, the Cleveland Indians, baby. All right, we'll get to some more of those here in just a minute. Don't forget, coming up here in about four, we got Harry Sue from Slap Yo Daddy. Let me tell you about a public service message to all the barbecue brothers and sisters from one of our sponsors, Steve DeFranco from Steve and DeFranco Jewelers. He's also a barbecue junkie, self-admittedly. I just talked to him the other day. Now, look, being married to a barbecue maniac can be trying, right? Think about all of these nonsensical things a barbecue wife or girlfriend has to put up with. Here's just a few examples of why buying her an anniversary ring from Stephen DeFranco Jewelers might be the best idea ever and allows you to get back in the house and have a good night's sleep. Number one, you're probably always making a huge mess in the kitchen and you don't clean up, do you? Of course you don't. You leave it for her. You include the dirty barbecue utensils in the sink and the dishwasher. You know, honey, take care of those for me. I'm going to go talk about barbecue now. All you think about is barbecue, books, TV shows, websites, and the like. You leave sticky barbecue sauce on the cabinet doors, in the silverware drawers, on the kitchen table, on the chairs, on the dog. What did the dog ever do to you? Come on. To you, your clothes smell great when they're covered with this succulent smoke flavor. But to her, they stink. So how long has she been putting up with this? Come on. You know, the shelves full of barbecue sauces, some that are open, some that are half used and have mold growing on them. Forget about it. Look, when was the last time you bought her a new piece of jewelry? Do me a favor. Call Steve. You see him on the screen right now at Stephen DeFranco Jewelers. He's going to help you out. Heck, he had to get himself out of trouble with his wife because of his own barbecue addiction. Now, whether you participate in competition barbecue or just barbecue for fun, taking care of your wife by showing her how much you love her with a beautiful diamond anniversary ring from Stephen DeFranco Jewelers is just the ticket for allowing you to continue on with this barbecue fascination and mania that you have, this insanity. Now, you're probably thinking that getting her a new ring is going to break the bank, going to ruin plans for a new grill or smoker. Forget about it. The diamond anniversary rings at Steve DeFranco's started under $500. Not only that, but he stocks a great quality, and you can look at him at StephenDeFranco.com. see all these great styles and prices. And as always, Steve has a very special barbecue brother and sister deal just for you. You go onto the website, stephendefranco.com, you find what you like, and then you call Steve himself, 440-943-2700. It's 440-943-2700. And you tell him you're a barbecue brother or sister, and he'll give you an additional $50 off. It always ships free to you, but you got to take advantage of it right now. 440-943-2700. We'll be back with Harry Sue right after this. Stick around.
Live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, welcome back. Coming up on 14 past the hour, 877-448-0433. Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. Those are the ways to get in touch with the show. Nibble Me This weighing in. Best cooker out there right now, Big Green Egg. Draper's Barbecue. Man, they are killing it right now for favorite barbecue sauce. Montreal Expos winning the World Series this year. That's not going to happen, Chris. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. I guarantee that. All right. Harry, you got to wait, man. Come on. Hold on. As promised, joining me now, one of the most recognizable characters on the barbecue circuit right now, currently riding a win streak of 4 in a row, including this past weekend in Arcadia, California. He was a member of the Barbecue Pitmaster Show on Season 1. He is a pitmaster of Slap Yo Daddy Barbecue Team. Harry Sue joins me here on the show. So let's race over to the hotline, and we will pick up Harry Sue right now. Harry, how are you, bud? Oh, uh-oh. See, this would have been perfect. Got an answering machine.
Hello?
Harry.
Hello?
Hey, this is Greg. Is this Harry?
Can you hear me?
Harry, you there?
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here. Is Harry here?
Can you hear me?
Yes, huh?
Harry! It's Greg.
Hi. Sorry, I was caught in traffic, so it took a while to get home.
Harry, I don't want to hear about you caught in traffic. We have a very important radio show to do here. You should be flying at home. How are you, buddy?
I'm wonderful. I'm here now, so let's get going.
All right, so here we go. Now, look, Santa Anita Park Winter Circle Barbecue Championship is a first-time event. Before we get into that, cook Harry. First of all, and I'm a huge horse racing fan, so Santa Anita, one of my favorite tracks, second to Saratoga Springs, New York. What kind of a setting was it, and did it detract at all for you or from some of the other competitors as far as the setting was concerned?
It was really a beautiful setting. We were placed in the middle of the grass oval the kind of the left corner of the field, and a lot of the teams were given briefings the night before not to upset the horses that would begin training at 5 a.m. So it was a wonderful location. We had absolutely gorgeous weather, and the crowds turned out in force that day.
Was there a substantially, that's a horrific English I'm about to use, was there a substantial more amount of foot traffic than you would normally see at a competition that you're at?
I was quite surprised because it was a first-year contest, and they had done a fabulous job advertising and marketing the contest. We had some of the TV stations there. We had a lot of foot traffic. I would say a lot more than what I would expect for a first-year contest.
All right. How many teams ended up showing up?
It was about 40.
All right. So definitely a good size first event team, 40 teams showing up. Let's go ahead and look at your individual categories, if we could, and we'll go ahead and review them as they're called out. Typically, during the announcements, you start with chicken. You get a fourth overall in chicken. As far as that day is concerned, how good did the chicken taste to you, and were you satisfied with a fourth place?
I thought I cooked four very good entries, and as with anything else with the judging, there is quite a lot of luck involved. We did well in the chicken entry and the brisket entry. The ribs and pork didn't do so well, but, you know, overall, we just won by just barely about 1 point. It was between 660 and 661 or something, and within 1.18 points, there were the placings for first, second, and third.
Yeah, so hugely close. So fourth place chicken overall, nice way to get started. You get a 16th in ribs, so as it's happening, of course, you get no call. How did the ribs seem to you as far as turning that day? Were you happy with the product? Did the overall score end up reflecting where they were at? What do you think?
I think the ribs were very good, but unfortunately that day, the scores for all the four categories were very close. So I'll give you an example. Within 5 points, there may be about nine teams. So it was really a razor-thin margin, and when I didn't get any call for both ribs and the pork, I thought that that wouldn't be the day for me.
So in keeping with no calls, pork, so you're getting back-to-back no calls. Pork is 12th. How did the pork turn out to you? Did you like it?
Pork was as good as I know how to cook pork. Yeah. For some reason, we don't seem to be scoring so consistently in the top 10 in pork. We finished third in the nation in pork last year. Mm-hmm. But this year, I seem to be struggling a bit with my pork, even though I haven't really changed anything. So it may be time for me to kind of change things up.
Brisket, third overall, so you get another call. And, of course, it's very high, so you have two very high calls. You have no idea where you're sitting at with the other two. We'll get into that here in a second as far as where the mindset is. Happy with the brisket, I would imagine.
Happy with the brisket. It turned out well, so I was relieved that I got a call for brisket. So that would still put me in the running, even though I thought my chances were slim, since we had three teams that had three calls.
So let me ask you this question, and we've kind of alluded to it already. You get the two calls. Do you grip pretty hard thinking that the other two might have tanked pretty bad, or do you figure that maybe you were just out of the top 10, so you still probably had a decent shot at winning the thing?
Well, I think when they were calling all the way to second and third, and I had not been called, and I sort of settled back in my chair and resigned myself to the fact that, oh, okay, I must be 11th because there were three teams that had three calls. So I thought those three teams would place a first, second, and third. And because I had no call, I probably placed way past, say, 11th or 12th place.
Is it inherent in a pit? I can't tell you, Harry, the last time. No, I can tell you one person, and that was the guys from Motley Q Crew Barbecue. And they must have a different mindset than everybody else. But every pit master that I've ever asked that question to, they never fire right back with, I knew I must have been just out of the top 10. I was definitely going to win that thing. They're always like, I must have tanked off so bad that they're always resigning themselves to the fact that they are not going to win. Is that just more or less the common theme amongst the pit masters that you know?
You know, that's a pretty common theme because I will tell you, it is really so hard to win nowadays with so many good teams putting out so much good product. I had already won three grand championships in the last three events, so I thought to myself, well, there's no way we can pull a four-peat. And I just resigned myself to 11th place. So when they called my name, I was truly shocked when they called my name for GC.
All right, so, and I did want to clarify this at the top. You are currently running a four-win streak, right?
I cooked four events. A couple were doubles. So in technically, I've cooked six contests, and I've won four GCs, both in Arizona and in California, two each.
All right. So, you know, you're riding a very good wave. I guess we could say running, a four grand champ streak right now. Very difficult feat to pull off, as few are able to do it during the course of any competition season. I want to say last year, Tippi Canoe came to mind as maybe winning four in a row at one point towards the middle of the summer. But when you're in the midst of a run like this, Harry, are you going into each contest now feeling more and more confident in that you, or do you think that this is going to be the event that the streak is going to come to an end now?
You know, I never cook with expectations. So I think, Greg, that's one thing you know about me. I cook basically with intention from my heart to do my best. And most importantly, I cook to have a good time. To me, it's a way to kind of get away from my regular job and just go into that whole barbecue environment and hang out with my friends and just have a good time.
All right, Harry Sue joining us here on the show. The website, by the way, slapyodaddybbq.com. You know, Harry, I've been asking pitmasters over the past couple months about flavor profiles at events. What do you think's winning, or perhaps a better question might be, what do you think the judges are looking for? Is it still kind of the same, sweet profile, the Blues Hog sauce type stuff, or is it starting to vary towards a more savory aspect? Because I've heard that too a couple times.
I've been slowly evolving my profiles the past 6 months to try to move into the top ranks. And, you know, you always sort of kind of have to go against the grain in the contrarian mode. So if everybody's cooking, say, spicy out in the West, then I try to tone it down. What's working really now is ultra sweet. And believe it or not, Kansas City style sweet is working in the West for a change. So I'm kind of moving towards very sweet barbecue.
If you see a meat start to fall off a little bit, Harry, what kind of a process do you go through to bring it back up and score? And I guess this might kind of tie back to the pork that you're struggling with a little bit right now.
The way it works is cooking a barbecue contest is like tuning a 12-cylinder engine. So if you can imagine, each cylinder is taste, tenderness, and appearance, right, times four. So what I do after every contest is I put my pictures and my scores on a Word document, and I look through the pictures and ask myself, how can I make, say, the appearance better? How can I make the taste better, and how can I make the texture better?
Harry Sue joining us here on the show. Harry, I know you're still teaching classes. How well are these things going over for you, and how many are actually on the docket for this year?
I originally started to teach classes because my coworkers kind of asked me to do them a favor, and that was 4 years ago. So I started teaching my coworkers, and they told their friends and neighbors, and they told their friends. And would you believe it, Greg, my classes are now full 6 to 7 months ahead, so I'm sold out till September.
All right, and so, like, what are the do you have different themed classes, or is it the same Harry Sue class, and you're just booked out 6-7 months in advance? You're going to be doing the same thing each and every class.
I've tried to vary the formula for the class, but what I find that seems to work with most people is I teach a lot of backyarders, I teach a lot of certified barbecue judges, and I teach a pretty good scattering of competition teams. For example, four of my students made it to the Jack Daniels last year. So I cover, essentially, even though I call it a backyard class, I call it a 101 class, I'm actually teaching 80% of my competition technique in class using a lot of the products like sauces and rubs and injections that won our team, Best New Team, in 2008. So it's really a comp class disguised as a backyard class.
Harry Sue joining us here on the show from Slap Your Daddy Barbecue. Harry, are you surprised that you're not seeing more people that you would go up against during the course of a weekend? It seems like some of these other guys or some of the other pitmasters that put on these classes have a lot of other pitmasters from other teams showing up to their classes to see if they can shig every last detail.
Yes, and I actually have I teach about a dozen students at a time. Usually I get two or three students who are competitors. In fact, I've trained a lot of the competitors that have gone on to beat me at contests. For example, I trained the first woman grand champion of California. I also trained the first woman grand champion of Arizona. So I have a lot of alumni that have gone on to do well. I cannot really believe it that even though I'm teaching them a dozen at a time, I've taught almost 500 students. So I'm just completely blown away by the number that have come through my class.
Are you more excited to do classes? Or are you more excited to do competitions? Is it a mixture of both, or are they completely two separate monsters?
Well, I like to compete because that's where the thrill is. But, you know, teaching barbecue classes gives me a chance to do what I really want to do, which is spread happiness. So people always ask me, Harry, are you teaching a barbecue class? I'm not really teaching a class. I'm teaching a class for happiness. Because in life, we all know kind of where we are going to end up. And what really that truly matters in life is to be able to be loved and give love. So a lot of people say, you know, I'm not loved. But did you give love? So what happens in my class is once you learn how to cook barbecue, you're able to spread barbecue happiness and spread love. And that always is a good thing.
All right. Now, I got to find this picture. Jeepers creepers. Where is it? Hold on. Okay, here it is. And you made mention to it here in an email. I'm going to throw this picture up here for everybody to take a look at. Oh, I got to move Steve DeFranco out of the way. A lot of teams out there cooking on huge rigs, 40-foot trailers, jambo pits, 13, 14, 25, $1 billion worth of equipment that are out there. You're a little bit more of the less is more aspect. I'm showing a picture of your setup right now. That Weber Smoky Mountain looks like it's about 10 years old and it's been put through hell and back. Give us a little explanation of your setup and why it works for you.
Well, you know, my whole philosophy is a minimal footprint and less is more. So I cook basically the bare minimum amount of meat on an 18-inch WSM, and I cook a whole contest with something like 3/4 bag of charcoal. So I'm really a small footprint team, and I find that it's really never about the pit. It's always about a pit master. if you know what you're doing, you can actually go out and cook against the best of the best using a $250, $300 smoker. So that has brought already a lot of people into barbecue. When I go out and compete, I see all these new teams that have kind of taken our cue and gone out and bought these smokers and trying their hand in barbecue. And that's the way really to bring more people to the sport.
Do you kind of snicker behind your canopies that are made by Impact Canopies because you see all of these huge pits and you're getting, it's almost like you're getting away, you're getting over on them because your investment is so minimal compared to what everybody else is paying for?
I like to think of it this way, Greg. There's no right and no wrong on how you want to cook barbecue, because if you truly enjoy what you do and you cook from the heart, you can be a pellet head, you can be a stick burner, you can be a UDS, you can be a WSMer. It really doesn't matter so long as you're having a good time, because that's really what barbecue is about. It's not really about kind of like, one-upsmanship against your competitor, because at least on a California circuit, we have just so many friends who all enjoy the same passion. We come from all different walks of life, and the weekend is a way to kind of get away from the stress and the hustle of our daily lives and go out and really just have a good time and chill and relax and just cook some great barbecue.
Harry Sue joining us here on the show. You're working on a new website. What can fans of Harry Sue expect when it actually launches out and goes live?
I get so many requests for recipes, and I've spent the last 30 years of my life cooking and creating unique recipes, and I've been writing all these recipes in emails and little cocktail napkins to everyone. So I decided, why don't I just put all my recipes on my website? And I'm in the process of redoing my entire website. I hired a professional programmer, so it doesn't look like kind of like the homegrown system I have. And I'm going to try to turn it into a destination site where people can get great recipes. I think that some of the recipes are going to be featured in some of the other books that kind of like some of the other authors that I'm kind of working with. So you'll see basic recipes such as like Southern fried chicken and what are the special ingredients that I put in to make my fried chicken special.
All right, Harry. I read this and I about fell off my chair, because typically opening up restaurants is a very dangerous venture, but you have plans for a brick and mortar restaurant. They are in the works right now with your catering business partner.
Yes, I get a lot of catering requests for parties and so on, and I've been working with actually several of my students who own restaurants. So I train a lot of restaurant and caterers. So I found a good business partner that handles my large catering gig. So sometimes we do poker parties for 300 people. So he has actually a restaurant in a butcher shop, and he really wants to rebrand his restaurant into a Slap Your Daddy Smokehouse. So we're kind of talking through some of the legal aspects and how to take his barbecue to the Slap Your Daddy level. And that's probably going to happen in the next 6 months.
All right, so we'll look forward to that. Now you have a couple products here, actually one that's jumping out right at me. You know, everybody uses up these Easy Up canopies. You're a user of perhaps a different brand. What separates these Impact canopies from the traditional Easy Ups?
You know, when I competed, I used to use the plain white canopies, and I used to bring all my banners and all my accomplishments with me. And now I decided, you know, it's about time after being a 4-year team that I have some decent canopies. So I had a good buddy of mine who is from Chain Smoker Barbecue Team, whose company actually makes these canopies. And I was really blown away by the quality and the graphics that he had created for me. So if you go to my website, look at all my blogs, you'll see pictures of those beautiful flame canopies that he had made for me.
Right here, you know, I got to ask you this, because you were on season one of Barbecue Pitmasters, which, I mean, nobody knew it at the time, right? But look at two series back and a couple other, you know, one-off shoots. Season one seems to be like the gold standard of whatever reality TV barbecue should be on television now, and you were a part of that. Season three is going to be rolling out at some point towards Memorial Day. There has been no official announcement of teams. Did you audition for that, and are you excited to see that come back? Would you hope it goes off to the corner and dies at some point? Where do you weigh out on that?
You know, I'm always excited when any barbecue show makes it on TV, because regardless of the format, you know, more exposure for barbecue means more exposure for the sport, and that's good for all of us who love and are so passionate about barbecue. To answer your question, I did turn in an audition tape to the Pitmaster folks. I haven't heard back yet, so I have no idea if they'll call me back.
All right, would you do it if they called you? You would be excited to do that?
Absolutely. If you want me to cook a raccoon, you want to cook an armadillo, I'm the man to do that.
All right. Harry Sue joining us here on the show. Harry, where are you going to be competing at next?
I'm headed to Las Vegas, and I'm headed to Mesa, which is in the Phoenix area. I'm actually going to try to win a Harley. It's been on my bucket list to own a Harley. So they're offering a Harley to the winner of the doubleheader.
All right. Well, we wish you good luck at that. We're talking with Harry Sue, pitmaster of Slap Yo Daddy Barbecue, which you can find at slapyodaddybbq.com. Harry, continued success, and thanks for coming on tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Greg.
All right, you got it. There he is. Harry Sue joining us, getting through a lot of stuff there. You know, I wanted to ask him because it's been his kind of, not mantra, but mission to qualify for the Jack Daniels. And because we have a just limited amount of time, I got to rifle in all these questions that I'm trying to get to. And I was having a conversation with John Dawson from Patio Daddy-O Barbecue, and we both come to the conclusion, it's just us, of course, that I don't understand the fascination with wanting to get to that one. I mean, barbecue, I would still much rather go ahead and win the American Royal Invitation. Where did the mystique come from for the Jack? Let's have a roundtable on where the mystique came from for the Jack Daniels. That's what I want to know. But Harry Sue has been dead set to get down there. And with four grand champs underneath his belt already in 2012, I would imagine he's looking to get that auto bid wrapped up by, sometime next week, the way he's going. All right, gang, as many of you know, I got my grubby little mitts, and when I say grubby little mitts, I mean hands, on a pellet cook, the griller. And the next thing I did after I unpacked it was I called Candy Weaver from Barbecuers Delight. Why? Because they are widely considered to be the pellet resource for pellet-fired cookers. That's right. Whether on the competition trail or in your backyard, folks choose Barbecuers Delight wood pellets more than any other brand for their superior quality and flavor. And you should give them a try as well, and you can find out all of the information at bbqrsdelight.com. Now, maybe you don't have a pellet cooker, and that's no problem. You can still take advantage of the pellet revolution on your gas or charcoal grill or smoker by grabbing the cast iron pot option. You buy yourself a nice sampler pack of pellets. You load up that cast iron pot with a third cup of pellets, and then you put it in your cooker or your grill. You let that sweet, succulent smoke take care of the rest. Now, maybe you're not familiar with pellets. That's fine. Let me give you a little insight here. When pellets are made, all of the air within that cellular structure of the wood is evacuated, thus concentrating the wood into a more dense form, much denser than natural trees. As compared to other wood flavor enhancers, pellets will yield more intense smoke more quickly, which seals the food, locking in the natural moisture and adding smoke flavor exactly when it's needed. And maybe here's something you didn't know. When you're buying Barbecuers Delight wood pellets, the 1 pound bags are 100% flavor wood. But if you have a pellet cooker like me, it's a little different. Candy and the folks at Barbecuers Delight have determined that a blend of 2/3 oak and 1/3 flavor wood is the way to go to ensure great smoke flavor, but get that consistent BTU temperature burn that you need. Do yourself a favor. Grab some Barbecuers Delight wood pellets right now. Visit them at bbqrsdelight.com. Check out all the flavors they have and stop fussing with those sticks and chunks. Barbecuers Delight, the choice of competition cooks and backyard hacks like me alone. BBQRSDelight.com. That's BBQRSDelight.com. We're going to come back with a smoking guitar player, Fred Bernardo, to talk about his competition cooking class. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show right here on the Barbecue Central Radio Networks.
Smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Race Records. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots.
All right, we are back. Welcome. 877-448-0433. Greg at the BBQCentralShow.com. I'm laughing already. That's a good thing. All right, joining me now, the purveyor of Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply. He is a smoking guitar player himself. And we race over and grab Fred Bernardo of Fred's Music and BBQ. Look at this guy. Fred, how are you, buddy?
Hey, buddy. I was just, playing along with your bumper music there.
You like the Moonshine Bandits?
What was that cut? The Moonshine Bandits?
Yeah, the Moonshine Bandits. Okay. Oh, yeah. How does my hair look? You probably can't see it, right?
Pretty
groovy. We're not split screen right now, but there we go. Yeah, I got the Tasty Licks Barbecue do-rag on, so I certainly appreciate that. You have the Tasty Licks shirt on. So what happened, Fred?
I had the Tasty Licks beret on, too, there for a minute, but my head was getting a little sweaty underneath there.
Yeah, we can't have head sweat, definitely not. Let me ask you a question here. Fred, you're a businessman. You're widely successful. You're doing music. You're doing barbecue. It was Fred's Music and Barbecue ever since I was a little baby. And then we're starting to rebrand as Tasty Licks Barbecue. And obviously there was the sauce and the rub that come out. But why go and, full force switch everything? We're doing the website changes. Why did that seem imperative to you to continue success?
Well, the music store started sort of fading a little bit, and the barbecue store started taking over, and it was time to get our branding consistent. We had our line of rubs and sauces, Tasty Licks Barbecue, and I just thought maybe it was time to kind of morph the barbecue store and give it its own identity and not have it as part of the music store.
Were you surprised after you got into the barbecue business, or did you project out that at some point the barbecue business would be better than the music business?
Well, I didn't really know. I just knew it was an up-and-coming thing, and, that's kind of twice in my life that I kind of picked something that was up-and-coming. Quite a few years ago, everybody was getting in garage bands and playing bars and things like that, and that's when I got my start in the music business, and, I started this barbecue thing and just kind of took right off.
Well, you've done fantastic with decorating for the interview. You got the banners up there. It's very professional. You got some musical instruments hanging off.
Hey, check this out.
What is that?
Check this out right here. Look, that's Lily, the smoking retriever. Here's a trailer.
The smoking retriever.
That's Lily, the smoking retriever. Smoking retriever.
Does Lily come with you at competitions? Is she your taster?
We just adopted Lily, but I think she's going to come along. She's been hanging around a lot of smokers. She's actually a yellow lab. This is just the smoke that got her,
Yeah, she's
the code
absorbs the smoke ring. If you cut her open, she'd probably have like a 5-inch smoke ring, right?
Right. I think she does. That's a good one, buddy.
There you go. Fred Bernardo joining us here on the show. TastyLicksBBQ.com is the website to check him out. Of course, one of the most reputable retailers online anywhere because he stocks stuff and it ships out to you very promptly. Fred, one of the things we were promoting heavily here on the show because you are a sponsor was this Pork Pulling Plowboys class, and you let us into your world a little bit towards the end of the year that you were getting into competition barbecue. So let me ask you this. Obviously, the class was a success because it sold out even before it happened. You had waiting lists and all this stuff. But as somebody who was getting into competition barbecue like yourself, forming with this team, what did you glean from it right away? What were your biggest wins on the whole thing?
Well, I took Ray Lampe's class 5 years ago, so that kind of gave me a taste for it. And as a matter of fact, after I took Ray Lampe's class, I decided that competition barbecue was way too much work, and I was never going to do it because those people were crazy. But, in the last few years, we started competing ourselves. Well, last year was our first year. But anyway, you always come away with something from this class. And you always come away with good stuff, whether you're a backyarder or an experienced barbecue cook. There were quite a few experienced competitors there, multiple grand champion winners, and everybody gets something. There's always a lot of stuff. It's just a great thing. Plus, it recharges your battery and gets you really revved up.
So when you see all these other pitmasters that have won, multiple GC takers, and they're at a class, is your initial thought that they're just trying to learn, or are they really trying to pick somebody's brain to see if they can lift their game up even higher?
My initial thought is that I'm jealous. Then after I get past the jealousy, then I think they're there to learn. I don't think they're shigging. I really think they're there to learn because there's always and again, it recharges your battery. You see how someone else does it. I don't think they're there buying the guy's secrets. I think they're there to learn. The people that were here, we're on the East Coast, and they're not competing with him. but they're competing with me, and now there's 40 teams here all all learned the same techniques this weekend. So it's going to be a curious season.
All right, so I'm going to try and pull up the pork pulling plowboy picture thing that I've put together here. You're going to be able to see this, so I'm going to start it here, and then I have to go into my configuration. So let's go ahead and start. Well, am I not supposed to show that one?
Not now.
Did you see that one? All right. So here's who do we have here?
That is Todd Johns, the pitmaster from the Pork Pullin' Plowboys, American Royal winner. Just won so many, has so many trophies. You know, he's lost count a long time ago. So he was our guest for the class, put on the class.
And I think what's important to remind everybody is the fact that this was held at the, dare I say, tropical location of Shillington, Pennsylvania. This is out back for you, right?
Yes. Yes, this was held out back, literally behind our facility in beautiful downtown Shillington, Pennsylvania. Now, don't forget, it's not beautiful, and there's not really a downtown, but we love it anyway.
Right. So here we have a picture of Todd, and it looks, I mean, there's a very good crowd here.
Yeah, we had, 44 people. We had to limit it. We still kind of got bigger than we wanted to, but I just hated to turn people down. Well, we could have had three times as many, and... you know, there's only so much you can do with limited facilities.
And here we have...
There's Todd putting some seasoning on a brisket, I think.
And picture of people taking copious notes. Are notebooks and stuff something that these people have to bring on their own? Are you supplying all of this stuff?
We gave them clipboards with notepaper on. And believe it or not, that notepaper did have my logo on the bottom. I bet you'd have a hard time on believing that.
I don't believe it.
You'd be amazed at the notes. I mean, I probably have 20 pages of notes, and... I was amazed when I took Ray Lampe's class, you know, in Detroit 5 years ago. I was amazed how the competition teams wrote down everything he said, and this year I did the same thing, you know.
All right, so we're going through here. Here's a nice shot of Todd looking. Is he about ready to down the rest of that pitcher of beer in front of everybody?
that's smoke on wheels, barbecue marinade, and that's what he's got in that pitcher right there. He's doing his chicken.
And then you have the lineup of cookers here, I would imagine, all furnished graciously by Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply.
Yep, this is our demo fleet. There's a Primo Oval in the front there, a couple big green eggs and a couple of green mountains, and we also had a Guru Onyx barbecue oven fired up.
So obviously you guys are well known as the big green eggs. You're the egg spurts. And then you have that Primo off to the left-hand side, the number one there, for the people who don't know the difference, aside from the fact that the big green eggs are green. Mm-hmm. Different shape there. They look. Is that just a bigger cooker than the other two, or is the shape kind of throwing me off there visually?
Well, it's oval. The Primo's claim to fame, I guess, is that they're oval. But they've also designed, since they've had, you know, it's a recent modern design, they've had time to think it through, so... All their rack systems are thought out, and the whole thing's engineered, whereas the Big Green Egg is the traditional Kamado, you know, was invented 3,000 years ago. It's round. The Primo, they can make it oval. You can fit larger cuts in there. They have a rack system. You can build a fire on one side or put a deflector on one side, and it's easy to grill direct and indirect, grill direct and maybe have a pizza stone on the other side and be baking bread indirect, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we sell some of those. You know, the Big Green Egg is far and away the biggest seller in ceramic grills, so that's what we sell most of.
Now, I'm looking at the Green Mountain grills. Do they have coats on?
They do. They have coats. This David Baker is the designer and the owner of the company, he's a pretty smart guy, and very early in the game, he came out with fitted thermal blankets. And I actually used those cookers to compete last year, those two cookers, and... those thermal blankets just work like champs. Even in the summer, they save you pellets. I tell people when they're thinking about buying a cooker that thermal blanket, you know, if you use that thing for a couple of years, it'll pay for the entire cooker in saved pellets.
Wow.
Because it really works like a champ.
Is the stack turned on those?
Yeah, you can see that. The stack is turned. That's my secret, man.
So what's the secret with that?
Well, you know... We laughed about it a lot last year because if we would have won a couple of contests, I always said, if we win a couple of contests, you're going to see all these other teams because guys were coming by and kind of covertly taking pictures of them and stuff. And I said, if we win a couple of grand championships, you're going to see everybody like tilting their stacks you know?
Because
we said, when people would ask us, we said that's like the secret of the smoke ring, you know? But actually, we just did that so we could get them in our van.
Oh, okay. So no real benefit
pretty,
to that.
Pretty boring story, actually.
Okay. Well, that's all right. It was a great build-up to a terrible punchline. So right. is this one of the Forno Bravos that we see here?
That is our Forno Bravo demo oven. You know, we sell awesome. Forno Bravo ovens. I sell quite a few every year. And because I'm a pizza guy, you know, I've been to Tony Gemignani's school, and we do pizza classes in people's homes and people classes, master classes at the store for pizza making. And as a matter of fact, Todd Johns from the Plowboys was asking me today about some pizza stuff. He's jonesing for some pizza. So, so we sell Forno Bravo ovens. You call us up and we hook you up with one. They're great ovens. That's the smallest one they make, but it's still a nice little thing.
Yeah, it looks great. And then we have Todd looks and he's going to be throwing some loin back ribs on the cooker there. And there he's in front of does he have all of these fired up at once at some point?
We had them all fired up, and we just kind of tossed stuff on different cookers.
Fabulous.
So we had we did at least one meat in each style of cooker, ceramic and pellet.
Now, these people have to be under arrest very shortly. Todd Johns, the smoking guitar player, and is that a homeless guy you just kind of swiped off the street there to take the picture with?
That's my barbecue soul brother from Philly, Mr. Huck Jr.
Huckos, yeah. So did he like swoop in to try and be like media guy, or was he part of the class? No,
he was media guy. He was definitely media guy. We always have fun when he comes up. He's coming up regularly, and we always have a blast.
All right, so as someone who took the time to put this class together, there was a lot of promotion build up to it. Overall, where do you rate it as success wise?
Oh, yeah, it was a tremendous success. I had no doubt about that. My staff is very used to putting on promotions and doing these kind of things. We never did a class on this scale before, but we have classes all the time in the store. I have these pizza classes, and we teach people how to do, you know, run their cookers and things. But I knew it would be just kicking butt, and it was. And it's not our last, that's for sure.
Cool. Well, Fred Bernardo joining us here on the show. TastyLicksBBQ.com is the website. All right, so what's the deal with the RV? Is that top secret? Can I show a picture of it? What are we doing here?
Well, I'll tell you what. I got to tell you, Greg, I'm writing a little song.
Are you?
You know? Yeah, you know, because when we got the team, we had to have a place to sleep and, like, go to the bathroom.
Right.
So I bought this motorhome, and I never really had a motorhome before. And, you know, it's an interesting experience, especially when you buy an old one like I did because you're cheap, you know? So, but my buddy named it Barbecue One. So I'm writing a song, man. Here you go. Here you go. I'm gonna break it right here tonight. You know, I'm not quite done yet.
Wait, let me give you a drum roll. Hold on. Here we go. The unveiling. Here we go.
This is the mysterious part. Barbecue One. Barbecue One. Oh, 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 Barbecue One. I lost my pick.
I like to say there's rave reviews coming in on the chat room. Wow. How does a smoking guitar player lose his pick?
I don't know. I got to tell you, I haven't lost one in probably 20 years.
You have? Don't you have like the mic stand with like 58 picks filed down the backside of the channel there?
That's right. I got to tell you, I have them right here in front of me. You know, various things here. My coffee cup, my plectrums right here. My plectrums. I got pink ones.
Plectrums.
You know, all kinds of stuff on my deck.
All right.
But, it's probably the first time I lost a pick in 20 years.
How many events, competition-wise, are you going to be competing in this year, Fred?
Well, I think we're going to do 8 or 9. I try and do one a month. I sort of added a few this year. And, we'll see what happens. Towards the end of the season, a lot of the events in our region happen like in September when it kind of cools down and things. There's also a Sam's Qualifier we're going to do. So, you know, we could get lucky and, you know, make the regional or maybe even go to Arkansas. So that'll determine how many events we do. Doesn't look like we made that Pitmaster show. I gave it everything I had, Greg.
Well, no official
audition, but I gave it everything.
I saw the audition, of course. Secondly, I just talked with top men in the industry, and they said as of right now, there have been no definitive lists that have been unveiled yet. So there is still a fleeting glimmer of hope, Fred. So let's hold out hope together. Okay. And we'll
I
want see
to be the
takes.
MC.
Yeah, I thought I could be the MC too, but I'm not going to sit there and put myself over. I'm not that kind of guy. No way.
Well, I am.
There you go. We're talking with Fred Bernardo from TastyLicksBBQ.com. Head on over there, order everything that you need for your grills or smokers. Fred, always appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Greg. Take care.
All right. There he is, Fred Bernardo, TastyLicksBBQ.com. Maybe we should add, did you like Fred's song to the survey question? We can toss that. All right, let me pull this up here. Make sure I'm doing it properly. Gang, let me tell you a few minutes about the longest running sponsor of the show, located in Warminster, Pennsylvania, the Barbecue Guru. If you've been thinking about an automatic temperature control device for your cookers, then stop here. This is the company that started it. They are the creators of this technology, so why would you buy it from any other company on the face of the earth? I don't know. Not familiar with how these little beauties work? I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to get into the minute details. But imagine this, a product that allows you to set your pit temperature, and once set, it will keep it running at that set temperature all the way through the cook. Sound too good to be true? It's not. This is real life. You can take advantage of this technology today. Now, maybe you're a busy working professional like me, or perhaps you are constantly on the run with the kids and doing errands, and quite frankly, you just don't have the time to sit around and tend pit temperatures. The Barbecue Guru allows you to throw a pork butt on, or a brisket, or a couple racks of ribs, and then you're off to do whatever it is that you need to get done, and the Barbecue Guru maintains the pit temperature you set. That's it. There are currently four different models to choose from, so you know there's going to be one that will fit your budget. You have a Procom 4 wireless unit that allows you to roam up to 600 feet away from your cooker and still make adjustments if you want to. You have a CyberQ 2 unit, the DigiQ DX, and the newest unit, the PartyQ. And at $129 for most cookers, the PartyQ is the easiest point of entry into pit temperature control devices. It's a self-contained package that runs on AA batteries. It doesn't get any easier than that. Now, maybe you're in the market for a cooker. Again, look no further than the Onyx Oven. The Onyx Oven has been winning on the competition circuit as well as in the backyard all over the country. This is fully insulated. It holds a lot of meat. It accommodates half and full pans for food service and works seamlessly with any of the Barbecue Guru pit temperature devices. Look, do yourself a favor, won't you? Head over to thebarbecueguru.com and check out their products. If you have a question about what to order, call them directly, 800-288-GURU. They will make sure you're outfitted with exactly what you need to get you up and running right out of the box. Technical assistance needed if you need it. 800-288-GURU or thebbqguru.com. The Barbecue Guru, a breakthrough in barbecue technology. We'll wrap up the first hour right after this. Stick around.
Interviews, advice on cooking brisket and ribs, and the only host willing to share his honest opinion on all things important in the world of barbecue, it's the Barbecue Central Show.
Who would have thought this music thing was going to go this far? I never asked for this. I never asked for this fast living, the women, the whiskey, craziness.
All right, we are back.
Whiskey in my soul.
Let me get me back up there. There we go.
I've been
trying to find a sweet image here.
Come on.
Thanks to Fred Bernardo from Fred's Music. It's not Fred's Music in BBQ anymore, is it? No, it's not. TastyLicksBBQ.com is exactly the place you need to go. We'll talk about Fred here in a little bit. I need to make sure that I'm getting my... Let's take a look here at the email. We'll discount that one. Latin band uses. Click. That could be clicking my pen. Thank you, Rob. John Dawson, you're wall-to-wall and treetop tall. Tune in radio. Got to get that. Oh, Harry's newly engaged. I forgot to ask him about that.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Welcome in, buddy. Already got him. All right. Good check of the email. Glad my vibration is working. Not well. Jeez, oh, Pete. All right, you're going to see something here that you don't want to see, but I have to add an image, so please bear with me here just for a quick second. There's that. And, oh, there he is. Now I got to get rid of the guru. Got to get rid of Fred, too. All right. Well, that's not his, but we'll keep that. That'll be coming on here in a little bit. We'll have to get a better picture on that. Harry Sue had a lot to say. A lot to say. We'll have him back on. People line up for him, man. I mean, he's been doing very well. Obviously, four grand champions in a row is something to behold, something to be said anyway. So that's wonderful. And again, he's pointing to the jack. That dude loves to want to get to the jack, so hopefully this is the year for him. All right. Pointing to the second hour, we have Bruce Bjorkman at 10:14, and we also have the special tribute to Fred Perkle from the Barbecue Guru, who just passed away this past Friday. Yep, one cooker. Dude's cooking on one cooker. And a competing automatic temperature control device. And a Duracell battery, I think it was in the picture. Was there a Duracell battery? Not sure, but I think that was a Duracell battery. All right, I got something to tell you about here at the top of the hour. It's a, I don't know if it's a contest, but we're going to try and make a barbecue food a official, whoa, hold on a second, you hold on a second, an official food of March Madness, because March Madness is starting tonight with games that never used to take place, but now they are taking place, because now there's, is it 68 teams? Pathetic. March Madness is starting, and we're going to talk about how we can get a food to be the unofficial right after this.
And why don't people understand my intention?
Happy to have you aboard here for the really big barbecue show.
We cook because we have to, and we grill because we want to.
Fine, how's it going?
You have a great show. I'm a big fan. So what seems to be the problem here? This man looks like he's dead, and he's in the crackle.
Charbono! It's all about the Charbono, dude!
Succulent fish! What?
He ate 54 wieners.
Oh, listen, Lavernius, shake a face.
I'm shaking like a dog shitting peach seeds.
You could use it to fight off creeping marauders looking to take your steaks off your grills.
I just like being anywhere with Junior, Senior, and Diva.
Sounds like a whole other movie.
Wow. Yeah, really. Keep it hot, keep it clean, keep it lubricated.
We have top men working on it right now. Ooh. Top men.
All right, just like that, we are in the second hour. All right, give me a second here. I got to do this. Google Chrome. Got to jump into my email here real quick. I try and keep it minimal on the desktop here because, quite frankly, I could easily plow this thing down. We don't want to do that. I know what I'm getting here, so just give me a sec. A higher res, let's say. Better.
This is Maddie Rempe.
What?
From Cleveland, Ohio.
Thank you, Maddie. Yes.
To Barbecue Central.
We know what we're listening to. Thank you anyway, dear. It's very nice of you. All right, let me drop that one out. Let me add this one in. There you go. Let's see how this one. Holy crapoli, that's much better. We call it foreshadowing in the business, people. Thank you, Conrad, for getting me the higher res. Do I want to leave my email up? Do I want to leave my email up? Do I want to leave my email up? No. I can get it on my phone. You have a smartphone? I do. All right. Here we go. Got this. Where is this at? Here we go. This is from mantestedrecipes.com. So go ahead and check this out if you want to. Follow along. Mantestedrecipes.com from Chris Erickson. So he's got a mission, right? We all have missions in life. My mission is to be wildly successful on terrestrial radio and internet radio all at the same time. Harry started with Conrad Haskins' class. Conrad, when somebody takes your class, are you signing somebody up? And I can ask you about this in 2 weeks when we have you. Do you have everybody sign a disclaimer and they chip you off 10% of the winnings? Because I would do that. Just a little business model increase if you're looking at it. Help make pulled pork the unofficial food of March Madness. Pulled pork is perfect. It's cheap, easy to make. Guys love it. And you can keep it warm all day while you watch 12 hours of hoops. Pitmasters can use pulled pork to showcase their competition skills using their signature sauce, custom grill, plenty of smoke. Meanwhile, novice cooks can feed their buddies by simply using the favorite barbecue sauce and a slow cooker.
What?
I said a slow cooker. No, sir. But whatever. If you want to moderately impress your friends, you can just buy Jack Daniel's already made pulled pork barbecue out of a plastic container. Anyway, just let us know, and you'll include links in the Twitter campaign to help make unofficial food of March Madness pulled pork. So here's what you have to do. You will be tweeting pulled pork content with the hashtag pulled pork madness, all one word. Capitals on the first letter of each word. Pulled Pork Madness. It's a running Twitter contest in about a week. We're happy to help you get the word out about any pulled pork-related recipes or posts you would like to share. Just let us know, and we'll include your links in our Twitter campaign. So, if I made pulled pork sandwich, I would go ahead and take a Twitter shot of that. And I would tweet it out in hashtag pulled pork madness. So they want to thank us up front for helping make pulled pork the unofficial food of March Madness. Let's make it official. Why not? Who can tell us no? 5 reasons why pulled pork is the perfect March Madness food. Let's check them out. In no particular order. Pulled pork can stay warm while you watch 12 hours of hoops. Agreed. Delivery pizza gets cold, sub sandwiches get soggy, but pulled pork can stay warm in your slow cooker or oven all day. Number 2, college hoops and pulled pork share a home. Eating pulled pork during March Madness is a homage. It's paying homage to North Carolina, the hotbed of great barbecue and great college basketball. Well, great college basketball is debatable, but whatever. I'm from Ohio. Number 3, pulled pork is ridiculously easy to make. I suppose that's up for debate, too. Can you pour a bottle of sauce over a hunk of meat, then turn a dial? Then you can make pulled pork. Chris.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Oy vey. Number 4. Pulled pork can feed a crowd for cheap. Agreed. It sure can. Throwing a March Madness party, pulled pork is your pal. Not pallet, but your pal, like friend. Pork shoulder, the preferred cut for homemade pulled pork. It's one of the best meat bargains around. Absolutely true. Number 5, pulled pork is just friggin' delicious. Agreed. Tender, juicy, dare I say succulent. Barbecue flavors slapped on a sandwich bun. If you choose, I like just white bread. Isn't that what they use down in the real South, just white bread? You can use a bun if you want. What's not to like? The pickiest eaters can also agree that pulled pork is absolutely tasty. I agree. So let's go ahead and make pulled pork a unofficial March Madness food. Take pictures of your pulled pork while you're making it, and then put it on Twitter and hashtag it. Hashtag pulled pork madness. I'll make a reminder of that in the show notes, and I'll also Twitter about it a little bit. Why don't I? There was something else I was going to get to. Oh, right. Survey Tuesday questions. We got a couple minutes. Once again, best barbecue pit on the market today. Your favorite barbecue sauce. And I believe Drapers is winning hand over fist with the people in the chat room tonight. Who will win the World Series this year? For me, best barbecue pit on the market today. Ooh, geez. So if I'm looking at it, best barbecue pit on the market today. Oh, man. See, I'm big on QPR, right? I've talked about it time and time and time again. QPR, quality, price, ratio. What am I getting for the money that I'm spending? To me, the best barbecue pit on the market today is still the 18.5-inch Weber Smoky freaking mouth. Sorry. Favorite barbecue sauce, Butcher's Barbecue Sweet Sauce, absolutely. I've gone through two bottles of that in the past 3 days, I think. And who will win the World Series this year? Of course, it's the Cleveland Indians. Of course. No doubt about it. Let's quickly look. Weber Smoky Mountain, Weber Smoky Mountain, Weber Smoky Mountain, Texas Rangers for, I was going to say Rub, but that would be for World Series. Tom Emery, Gorilla. I love the Gorilla, but I'm about QPR, and that's not QPR for a lot of people. Cubs winning the World Series. Logan, no way. Fred Gross, Tribe, yes. Butches or Butches? That's probably Butchers. Butchers or Rooftop. A Rooftop getting some love as well. Here's another Cubs. Boston Red Sox. Not going to happen. Weber Smoky Mountain Gator or Mac. That's a wide and sweeping variance. You have a charcoal driven. You have a traditional offset. And you have a pellet grill. Boston Red Sox. Just because, look, as a diehard Yankees fan for years, just because you have the money does not mean that you're going to be winning anything. They're coming off of a drinking clubhouse. I don't even lie straight out. I rarely drink during the show. I would not drink if I was making millions of dollars. If you sign me to a multi-million dollar contract to do this show on the radio / television, I am not going to be drinking during it. Neither is Bobby Valentine. Let's see. Blues Hog. Yeah, you're right, Chris Rudy. Most mix it anyway. I believe Jess Stith said Blues Hog a little bit earlier. Cardinals, it would be fun to see them win without Albert Pujols. Cardinals, Rooftop. Man, oh man, look at that. Backwoods coming in from Matt in the chat room. Weber Smoky Mountain, again, a pit maker. Maybe my next question will be sexiest pit on the market today. Pit maker, absolutely. That bitch has flat screen televisions, disco lights, smoke machines, offset cookers, vault style cookers. Pit maker is badass. They are badass. No doubt about it. Go to Pitmaker and check those out if you're not familiar with it. Or let me do this real quick. Maybe you didn't see this one coming, right? Of course you did. It's Barbecue Institute. Newest sponsor to the show. But not new. They were around. They've come back. Dropped off for a little bit. Seasons change. Feelings change. But the need for good barbecue does not change. So that's why you want to take your barbecue to the next level with a Barbecue Institute class, right? Of course. Pitmaster Conrad Teddy Bear Haskins uses his years of catering and restaurant experience combined with the food science and smoking secrets to help you understand how to improve your barbecue. Backyard barbecuers, those folks who want to open businesses, they drive and they fly in from all over the country. Hell, they fly in from all over the world for these institutes, small, friendly, informative classes. The Barbecue Institute has a full schedule of classes in Texas this spring, covering everything from just short fajita-style classes to an all-day cooking class on how to smoke classics like brisket, pork, ribs, and chicken. Let me ask you a question. You ever dream of owning your own business in the barbecue world? One of the most popular classes at the Barbecue Institute is the commercial barbecue class. Learn from Conrad's years of experience owning a restaurant and catering company how to produce a product that your customers will become addicted to. That means repeat business. That means success for you. Nothing is as expensive as failing in a commercial venture, something we talked about with Harry Sue. Add to this, the class has helped students to start successful barbecue operations all over the country and the world. You have success right there. Having owned too many cookers of every shape and size and all three major brands of commercial pits, Conrad is finally having his dream classic Texas offset smoker built. It's based on his current Gator, but has all the features he's always wanted in a pit. This summer, Conrad is kicking off a Gator Pit Smoker Coast to Coast Teaching Tour. It will kick off in Prosser, Washington State on June 2nd. Will culminate with a trip to Riverhead, New York on August 3rd. Check the Barbecue Institute website for details, including the locations of the stops Conrad will be making in between these two locations as they are announced. When not teaching classes on the weekends, Conrad is conducting private classes and corporate events from coast to coast during the week. And to make your next offsite event really memorable, have a Barbecue Institute offsite party. Show your employees you care with the very best barbecue money can buy. They will be talking about this event for years to come. People feel good about the company, feel good about you as the boss. For details on all of this stuff, go to the Barbecue Class Institute, bbqinstitute.com. That's bbqinstitute.com. Or check their Facebook page for the latest news, pictures, and videos. Again, it's bbqinstitute.com, bbqinstitute.com. Conrad Haskins, he's right here in the chat room. You got any questions, ask him. Fire away. When's your next class? How much? Hook me up. We'll be right back with Bruce Bjorkman. Stand by.
Broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Muted myself. Welcome back. 14 past the hour. 877-448-0433. Greg at the BBQCentralShow.com. Don't forget, Survey Tuesday is underway as well. Best barbecue pit on the market. Your favorite barbecue sauce. Who will win the World Series this year? All questions to be answered. Joining me now is the sales and marketing director for Mac Grills, a pellet-fired cooker that is garnering award after award. 2 weeks ago, it picked up the Vesta Award for Best Barbecue Other Fuels category at the HPBA in Atlanta for the four-star general unit. Last year, they won the same award with two-star general. This happens to be the only pellet cooker manufacturer to ever win this award in consecutive years. And here to talk about it is the director of sales and marketing for Mac Grills and host of the weekly radio show Outdoor Cooking Outdoors with Mr. Barbecue, which can be heard on KXL Radio. We welcome back to the show Bruce Bjorkman. Bruce, how are you, buddy?
Greg, I'm doing good. How are you, man?
Doing absolutely fabulous.
We're having a good time.
Oh, we're having a great time here tonight on the show in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city of Cleveland, where, believe it or not, it is just shy of 70 degrees, so did some outdoor cooking.
Yeah,
the last
I know. You guys are getting the nice weather. We're freezing our buns off out here. We had actually snow this morning. And it looks like we're in for a good cold front and a lot of rain the next few days.
It has been one of the best winters ever, and when I mean best winter, like zero snow. So I'll take it when I can get it. Bruce Bjorkman joining us here on the show. You know, Bruce, I mentioned right at the top, so let's go ahead and talk about it right off the bat. The Mac Grill product line has taken top honors now for the second year in a row. You guys have captured the Vesta Best Barbecue Other Fuels. Different cookers this year than last year, too. I'm sure there are plenty of people that listen who aren't as in tune to HPBA and this award. So if you could give us a little perspective here on the accomplishment and what it means to you and obviously Mac for the company.
Sure. Well, the Vesta Awards are presented every year by Hearth and Home Magazine. That's an industry trade publication that goes out to retailers and manufacturers in the hearth, patio, and barbecue industry. And winning a Vesta Award is like getting a Grammy or an Oscar Award for your product. It's very, very prestigious to be able to get an award, to win an award like that. And it's not something that's freely given. I mean, it's like going through Memphis and May judging, because you actually have a trio of judges that come to your booth to to view the entry, and then you have to give them a presentation. You get about 15 minutes to do that and to basically present why that particular product entered into the Vestas is not only innovative, but a quality product. And the whole idea behind the Vestas is to recognize and to basically award and celebrate those products that are bringing new innovation to their respective categories.
Now, are there certain criteria that you need to hit on when they're coming through and asking about this in order for you to have your best chance of qualifying to win the award, or does it not really go over like that?
Well, I think that you've definitely got to demonstrate to the judges the innovation that you're bringing to that particular category, whether it happens to be an outdoor burn product like a fire pit or an indoor furnace. For example, this year, Napoleon out of Canada won a Vesta Award for a hybrid wood and gas furnace, which was very, very innovative. And they are the only manufacturer right now in the entire Northern Hemisphere that's making that kind of a device. Now, to me, that's the thing that really helps to stand out, and it best describes what the Vestas are all about. And then in the barbecue category, and I don't know if you've been in contact with these guys or not, but I'll give them a plug because I was very impressed with what they're doing. It's a charcoal, gas, and wood hybrid system called West of Memphis Barbecue out of Apache Junction, Arizona. And a small company, they've only been in existence making these devices for about 5-6 months now. And again, you know, it's good to see somebody bringing something new to the charcoal wood gas category. And then obviously, you know, Mac Grills, what we're doing with wood pellet grills.
Bruce Bjorkman joining us here on the show, Director of Sales and Marketing for Mac Grills, which can be found at macgrills.com. You rolled out that Mac 4-star this year. From the pictures I've seen, just super impressive cooker to look at. Is it possible to compare the 2-star that won last year and the 4-star that won this year? Or is there just no comparison here?
Well, there's really no comparison. The 4-star, the Mac 4-star General, has been in development, Greg, for 2 years. And, I mean, you know, here's the thing that really helps to refire my passion on a daily basis. When I walk through the doors of Mac, I know that the people I'm working with aren't just going to design a product and throw it out onto the marketplace. We build prototypes, we test them, we tear them apart. Our engineers are always thinking, what can we do to make this better? What can we do to bring something new to the wood pellet grill category? And that's one of the reasons why it's taken us so long to bring this particular model to the marketplace, because we've built prototypes, we've tested them, we've thought there's a better way to do that, and then we'll go back to the drawing board, build up another prototype of whatever part for that grill, and again, test it. So it's been a long time coming, but I think that when the 4-star General comes out and is in stock by mid-June, it's going to absolutely blow you away. It's got 1,000 square inches of primary cooking surface, and then we've gone and redesigned our upper grill grade system to where you can expand the cooking surface to 6,600 square inches.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's phenomenal. And then the controller, we've got all kinds of new things in the Pellet Boss control for the 4-star, including a zone grid probe where you can actually put the probe on the grid and cook at that particular spot at a particular temperature. The grill's going to be Wi-Fi capable. You're actually going to be able to operate the 4-star General using a smartphone, an iPad, or your laptop or personal computer. So, I mean, we've really raised the bar so far as wood pellet grills are concerned in the competition, the built-in and commercial wood pellet grill category.
Do you have a percentage of people that are buying it that are actually using it in competition versus backyard, or is it kind of one and the same?
You know, it's kind of all over the board right now. It was pretty funny when I got back into the office last week. Man, we started getting phone calls like crazy from people all over the country interested in buying the 4-star General. And, you know, some people were doing it for their backyard kitchens that they're designing this year. Others wanted it for, matter of fact, one guy that owns a produce packing company in California is going to buy a 4-star for his business because they regularly cook for a good amount of people. And so he wanted something that was going to be, you know, easy to use, very consistent, you know, something that could be remotely controlled. And the 4-star general really basically fit that bill for him. So, you know, it's just all over the map. It's been pretty interesting to talk to these people, and, you know, they're just chomping at the bit to get their hands on one.
Bruce Bjorkman joining us here on the show from Mac Grills, macgrills.com, the website. Bruce, if we could just kind of backtrack a little bit, you know, Traeger used to be the name when it came to pellet cookers. Mm-hmm. You know, the Auger patent fell off, and then a whole bunch of other people kind of came out of the woodwork to jump in here.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
A lot of manufacturers are now in this pellet cooker game, including Mac. When did Mac get into the pellet making business for cookers?
Well, they actually began the process of researching pellet grills and all kinds of grills in the development of what became the 2-star General back in about 2007, 2008. And there was about a year and a half's worth of research and development that went on before they even began producing the first run of Mac 2-star Generals. And those were produced in July of 2009. So as a company, we're not even yet 3 years old. And, you know, it's been gratifying for me to see the explosion of interest amongst pellet heads, you know, for Mac grills. And I really think, Greg, and I'm not saying this just to toot our horn, but, you know, it's been pretty cool to see the fact that Mac has become the pellet grill to own.
Bruce Bjorkman joining us here on the show. Bruce, I'm sure there's roughly 5 hours worth of features and benefits that you could point out to us here, but, you know, yeah. as someone who might only have, you know, a few minutes in front of a potential customer or dealer on, you know, why would I want to bring this in? What are some of the real hot points that separate a Mac from one of the other many pellet style cookers that are out there right now?
Okay, well, that's a good question. And, you know, I think let me touch on if you've been a pellet head and you're cooking on a Traeger or a Green Mountain or a Louisiana or one of the other brands, you know, some of the things that really stand out for me, because I started cooking on pellet grills in 1991 and the majority of that time spent cooking on Traegers. And when I first got introduced to Mac back in October of 2009, here's the things that really stood out to me. Number one, the pellet hopper dump door. The fact that you can open up a dump door, drain out the pellet hopper without having to scoop it out using a cup or your hands or whatever. So that was the first thing that really stood out to me. The other thing is the stainless steel removable fire pot, so you can dump the ash out of it. Again, not having to scoop it out with a spoon or your hands or whatever. And then the Pellet Boss Digital Control Center. And that, to me, is just absolutely has no equal anywhere in the grill industry, whether it be gas, charcoal, or pellet. And the ability to program up to 3 meat probes for a specific target temperature. And when that probe reaches that temperature, it sounds an alarm, and the display on the Pellet Boss flashes. And then the fact that you can change your cooking temps in 5-degree increments from 200 to 450. The consistent smoke temperature you get on smoke, which will range anywhere from 170 to 180. On my 2-star General, my smoke temperature is right in the middle, consistently at 175. And we hear this all the time from our grill owners, the fact that when they set their grill temps on their Mac, it stays well within that range, with maybe a 3 to 5 degree variation, which I think is, you know, more than acceptable by any means. So those are some of the things I think that really make the Mac stand out. And then our warmer smoker box, the ability on the 2-star to be able to actually cold smoke cheese and nuts and fish and brine meats at 70 to 80 degrees is really pretty cool.
Now, you're going to, with the addition of the 4-star General here, you're going to have 3 different cookers in the products offering portfolio. Where do we start in price points here? And are you going through dealer or distribution through dealer right now, or is it direct through Mac?
Well, our price points start, the 1-star General is $12.99. The 2-star General with the brand new all 304 stainless cooking chamber box and the new grease pan system that we've got is $22.99. The 4-star is going to be $79.99 just for the grill. If you want to get the accompanying roll-around cart with a fully extendable drawer, you're looking at another $29.99 on top of that. So we're not out to be an inexpensive grill. What we want to be is the most innovative, best-built grill, period. And how do we go to market? Well, there are a couple of ways. If somebody calls us directly to buy a grill and they don't have a dealer in their area, we'll be more than happy to sell them one. If they do have a dealer, we want you to support local business. And Greg, let me make this point, and I think it's so important that people need to understand, and we hear this all the time, and I hear it all the time as director of sales and marketing for Mac. People buying off the internet because they don't want to pay sales tax. Folks, you have to understand something. That sales tax is helping to underwrite and support local fire, local police, sewer and water, all the very essential services that we come to depend on every single day. And if we all quit paying sales tax, what do you think is going to happen to those services? They're going to be non-existent. And, you know, there are communities all across the United States of America that are struggling to have proper fire department coverage of their cities and counties, proper law enforcement coverage of their cities and counties. And they can't do it because they don't have the money. Now, we can get into discussions about, you know, bad spending habits and stuff like that by governments. It does go on. But you got to understand, when you pay that sales tax, you're helping to fund essential services. And you're helping to support local businesses whose profits are respent within that community and state. So I really encourage people, whether you're buying my grill or somebody else's grill, support the local businessman.
Absolutely. A very good point there. And I'm sure a lot of people support when I say, Bruce for president. Absolutely.
No, I don't want the job.
Yeah.
Please, I do not want that job. Thanks anyway. Greg, you go for it, buddy. That's
definitely not me. I'm nowhere near as smart as that. Bruce Bjorkman.
I don't know anybody in their right mind that would want that job today, man.
Not right now. Absolutely not. We're talking with Bruce Bjorkman. Aside from Director of Sales and Marketing at Mac Grills, you can hear him each and every Saturday cooking outdoors with Mr. Barbecue from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 2 to 3 Pacific on KXL Radio. Out there, and of course the affiliates up and down the Pacific Northwest. Bruce, there are some different price points within the portfolio there. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you're used to getting that deer in the headlights look once you hear the price. How easy is it for you to overcome, or is it one of those things where you're just like, look, it sounds like a lot. Here is everything it's going to be able to do for you. You're going to have to bite that bullet and try it out. You know, buy the best and only cry once, as they say.
Well, that's kind of true, and it's kind of all through those scenarios. There are some people, when they hear the price, you know, you got to give them smelling salts. There are others who understand that they're making an investment, and when they're buying a Mac grill, and they're paying more money for that grill than other pellet grills, but what you're getting in return for that investment of your dollar is something that's going to last for years and years and years and years. And then, yeah, like you said, you know, showing them the different features and benefits of the different grills. You know, most people, when they look at that grill, when they look at our grills and they look at how well they're built and what they offer that the others don't, then they're able to say, yeah, you know, I can justify that expenditure because I know, yeah, like you just said, quality only hurts one time.
All right, Bruce, we're going to change out of Mac here just for a second. For the folks that don't know, obviously you worked for Traeger for a number of years and then went to Mac. And there, a coworker of mine actually owns a Traeger, and we were talking about pellets one day, and he said that he had to buy Traeger pellets because if he didn't use them and something went wrong, if he used Brand X pellet, it would void his warranty. Is that true, at least to your knowledge, when your time there, did not using a Traeger pellet cause a void of warranty?
Well, it's still a part of the warranty, and if you read the warranty sticker on the inside of the pellet hopper lid on Traeger, yeah, it does say that, you know. But it comes back down to, well, how are they going to be able to prove that unless they fund, you know, lab research or something like that? I would tell you that most hardwood barbecue pellets that are being manufactured today can be used in those grills without any problems. With Mac, we don't have any kind of a restriction like that. If, you know, you can use any brand of hardwood barbecue pellet in a Mac pellet grill, and it's not going to affect your warranty whatsoever. But yeah, that's still what Traeger's, you know, espousing as part of their warranty requirement.
All right, let me ask you this question, too, because I was probably 2 years or so since I brought this topic up to you, and it probably wasn't the best idea to talk about it at that point, right? I did a little research one time. I found a U.S. patent that Traeger was holding in regards to, I don't know how else to say, but let's say flavoring pellets. In short, adding a liquid wood flavor to a base wood instead of just using a real apple or hickory or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that was actually practiced at Traeger?
Well,
and I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay. When I was there, I don't believe that it was in a regular practice. But you must understand that, you know, I wasn't always privy to every single thing that went on there. I can tell you, though, that since the company has sold, which it did in 2006 to the Bearish Fund, that they have definitely changed the composition of their barbecue pellets. And here's what that composition is. It's 80% alder, 15% maple sawdust, and then 5% wood oil, whatever type of species wood oil they're using for the various pellets. So it's definitely not the same pellet that it used to be when I worked for them and initially, you know, when they started back in the late 1980s and then through the 90s and into the mid-2000s.
So, and the thing that jumps right out at me is a thing called wood oil, which, if I'm remembering the patent filing correctly, and I've followed up many times with Traeger, you know, well after you had left to have them come on and talk about it, because my thought was this: if you're going to spend the time and the money and all the labor hours getting a patent and then never talking about it, if I thought that was the way to make pellets, you can best believe I'd be using this radio show and I'd be looking to book myself on other places saying, look, this is the new holy grail of the way to make pellets, and it's going to be great. It's going to be cheaper, whatever. It's going to help manufacturing. Tight lip, tight as a drum, and nobody wants to come on and talk about it, which seems to be completely counterproductive for holding a patent.
You know, I don't know how to really answer that other than just saying, you know, it is what it is, and they do what they do, and, you know. Therefore, but for the grace of God, go I.
There you go. Bruce Bjorkman joining us here on the show. Bruce, I know you're also a qualified or a certified KCBS judge, correct?
Yeah, CBJ, that's correct, yeah.
How are you finding flavor profiles these days? Have they changed at all over the last couple of years? We just had Harry Sue on in the first hour. He's riding a very tremendous win streak of 4 in a row. He's obviously doing something very correct. But as a judge, you know, on that other side of the whole event, how are you finding flavor profiles coming into you? What's winning?
Well, Greg, I haven't judged for probably 2 or 3 years. And again, it really depends on where you are. It's still kind of a regional flavor basis kind of thing where, you know, one part of the country, judges are going to be looking for a particular type of flavor. You go to another part of the country, and it's going to be totally different or maybe even totally opposite. So, I'm really probably not the best person to answer that question just because I haven't been judging barbecue contests, because when most contests are on, I'm on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just going to say, since you're going to be coming up with a show on Saturday, what's going to be bumping around KXL?
I'm still formulating that show right now. So I don't have anything really in concrete at this point. Last week we talked to Rob Walsh about his new book, Texas Eats, which is just a tremendous piece of work. I don't know if you've had Rob on your show yet.
I have not.
Okay, you really need to get him on. As far as I'm concerned, and I know I'm all over the road tonight with you, but Rob is easily one of my all-time favorite food writers, and he's a tremendous food historian. And what he brings to the world of food writing and barbecue is absolutely some of the very best stuff you could ever lay your eyes on.
All right, well, I'm going to have to see if I can't effort him here for this show, so I appreciate the lead. Again, we're talking with Bruce Bjorkman. He's the Director of Sales and Marketing at Mac Grills, which you can find at macgrills.com. Also host of Cooking Outdoors with Mr. Barbecue, which airs Saturdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 2 to 3 Pacific on KXL. You can go to KXL.com if not in the local area to catch it. Bruce, always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Hey, Greg, thank you, and keep on smoking, man.
You got it. Take care. There he is. Bruce Bjorkman. Telling you right now, I came after him hard a couple years ago on that whole Pella thing, and much to his credit, you know, he towed the corporate line, didn't give me any more information that he thought was absolutely necessary, but we were able to open up a little bit more. I don't know if there was like a non-compete that finally fell off or something like that, but certainly appreciate that honesty because, again, you know, like, why would you bother going into patents and patent holdings and all of the labor and the lawyers and stuff and not tell people? Why would you tell me about it? You're putting wood-flavored oil. What the hell is wood-flavored oil? Look at this crazy guy. We just had him on a little bit earlier in the show. Gang, let me talk to you quickly about Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply. Look, there are unsavory businesses and creeping marauders at each turn on the internet, and I think we can all agree on that. But sometimes you're looking for a barbecue or grilling item that just isn't stocked anywhere in your hometown or the next town over, or the next town over from that even. So your options have become limited, and you're forced to go online to buy the item you want, or you're just going to go without it. The internet grip sets in, the hands start to sweat, your neck tightens. You've been screwed on the internet purchases before, and you don't want it to happen again. After all, this is your hard-earned money you are spending. You need to feel confident that the company you are buying from is honest and fair. Let me tell you, good news, folks. Let Fred Bernardo and the gang over at Tasty Licks BBQ relieve you of your internet buying stresses. Tasty Licks has one of the most complete inventories of barbecue and grilling items anywhere on the face of the earth. All of the items that you see on Fred's website are in stock, and they are ready to ship to you directly. Are there other places on the internet that might have a cheaper item? Perhaps. But are you 100% confident that you are actually going to get the item you buy? How long is it going to get to you, shipping-wise? All great questions that no one can answer with 100% surety. When you buy from Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply, the items are in the store. They ship to you promptly, and everything in the store is priced fairly. That's great. All winners in my book. Hell, if you want to, try and work a deal with Fred. I'm sure he would be happy to take your call, potentially work something out with you. He's singing songs about competition barbecue, for crying out loud. Tasty Licks carries grills, smokers, ceramic cookers, electric cookers, various charcoal-type cookers, wood chunks, chips, cookbooks, accessories. If they don't sell it, you possibly don't even need it. On top of all that, Fred carries many of the other show sponsors in his store, their items as well. So you're doing almost like a two-for-one, shopping at a sponsor and buying sponsors' products, the best of both worlds. Don't forget that Tasty Licks has their own line of barbecue sauces and rubs as well, so you want to try them. April 28th, Bob and Kenny from Barbecue Guru doing demonstrations at the Shillington, Pennsylvania store using Gurus on the Big Green Eggs and other cookers. And the Onyx Cooker demo starts at 11 a.m. free. No registering, no cost. Again, that's April 28th. Head on over to TastyLicksBBQ.com and let the confidence exude from you as you make your online purchase. Then enjoy your items upon delivery. And don't forget that Fred and the gang are there to help you with help after the sale if you need it. TastyLicksBBQ.com. We ran a little long, but we're going to come back with the special Fred Perkle segment. Shotgun Fred from the Barbecue Guru. Stick around. What the hell happened? Try that again.
Big name interviews, advice on cooking brisket and ribs, and the only host willing to share his honest opinion on all things important in the world of barbecue. It's the Barbecue Central Show.
Man, my camera flipped down. I don't know how to freaking fix it. Oh, that's worse. Ugh. Cutting the top right off. I'll have to make some adjustments there. All right. Thanks again to Bruce Bjorkman. Look, this show is here for us. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, you know, I'm a better host than anybody else. I would never do that. I'm not going to sit here and not have other barbecue show hosts on because they have radio shows and they work for, you know, a grill manufacturer that I don't own or whatever. The show is not about that. You know, Bruce is going to be able to talk very diligently on his particular grill. Plus, he was with Traeger forever. So he's a good guest, somebody we'll have back on for sure. All right, this segment is dedicated to Shotgun Fred Perkle. Again, the creator of the Barbecue Guru. TheBBQGuru.com is the website. Fred Perkel, 66, inventor and founder of the company. This was March 10th from an Inquirer staff writer, from where I got this write-up. So let me read you a little bit about Fred here. Fred Perkel has ALS, had ALS, I'm sorry, and was working on inventions to aid those with a condition. Fred Perkel's inventive mind was still cranking out ideas for new creations, even as the rest of his body had virtually shut down due to the fast-moving form of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is ALS, more familiarly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Lately, those efforts were focused on ways to help those like him whose motion was limited by disease or stroke. On February 9th, 3 weeks after Mr. Perkel turned 66, the founder of Thermomegatech Incorporated, a manufacturer of temperature control valves in Warminster, Pennsylvania, died at his home in the township. It was an ending Mr. Perkel was prepared for. He had said in an interview published January 22nd in the Inquirer. The article detailed his physical challenges and commitment he had made recently to support U.S. manufacturing long after he was gone. Please listen to this. The commitment was this, that a $25 million pledge in December to Mr. Perkel's alma mater, Sam Houston State University outside Houston, the largest single gift commitment to the school, will enable the establishment of engineering technology program. He was a champion of business and a champion of education, school president Dana Gibson said in a statement Friday. He was also a visionary whose thoughtfulness and generosity have paved the way for generations of students to come. Mr. Perkel had said of his gift to Sam Houston, "It's critically important that we retool and retain people, particularly young people, to take care of these critically important jobs to put us back in the forefront of manufacturing worldwide." Mr. Perkel formed Thermomegatech in 1982 after, he said, he created a temperature control valve that Conrail officials determined was worth trying out to prevent freeze damage to its diesel locomotives. Lately, it was Mr. Perkel's contribution to the fight against ALS that had won him widespread acclaim. At the ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapter, Executive Director John Pincotti praised Mr. Perkel Friday for working diligently to invent items that would help himself and others living with ALS, which is a neurodegenerative disease. He was and remains an inspiration to all of us. Mr. Perkel was father of two sons. Funeral arrangements were incomplete Friday. In the January interview, he said he wanted written on his tombstone, "His life was an experiment." So that is Fred, and what a great guy. So let me do this now with the remaining time that I have. Got to get into my hard drive here. And I have a... excerpts, seven excerpts of an interview that I did. Maybe you're not familiar. Let me give you a background about this show. If you're first time in, this thing started a long time ago, probably 6 years ago, when it was just a podcast. And in its very infancy, it was done through a company called Telcaster, which was like a teleconferencing. It was nothing like the setup that it is now. And I would dial in, the guest would dial in, it would connect us, and we did phone interviews that was a podcast. And I believe the fourth one I ever did was with Fred Perkel from The Barbecue Guru. I was horrible. I sucked. These podcasts have never seen the light of day. There is 13 original shows that have never seen the light of day on any feed. But perhaps tonight changes. Perhaps Fred's will be like some bonus content just so we can do proper remembrance of him. But I wanted to play some of these for you tonight. And you can kind of, you know, just as my way of giving a little back to Fred, letting people remind or helping remind people, you know, how he talked, how he sounded, the passion with which he talked about the business with. And we'll go ahead and kick it off here. Again, Fred Perkel passed away this past Friday from ALS. This is me asking Fred, and if you know Fred, he's known worldwide as Shotgun Fred. And I asked him how he got the name.
Well, I was about 9 years old, and I lived, of course, in San Antonio, Texas, where I grew up. And when my mom would take me into downtown San Antonio, we'd go down Presa Street, and there was a hardware store there called Lightfoot's. And over the front door, they had this big model of a shotgun. And on the barrel of the shotgun was the sign, Lightfoot's. And when I'd see that, I'd say, Mama, Mama, the shotgun. She'd say, you're the shotgun, boy. So later in life, she told me, well, I gave you the right nickname because you've definitely got a shotgun approach to life. So.
Yeah, shotgun approach to life. Absolutely, Fred did. Second cut is Fred's background, how he got into business, and, you know, this would be prior to the barbecue guru being accepted.
Well, you know, my granddad was got me started, I guess. He's the one that really got me stirred up, and he taught me how to cook on clay pots and what have you when I was a wee small boy, and then as I got a little older and could drive, why, I went everywhere and anywhere. They were cooking anything. Any barbecue I could go to, I went to, whether they were cooking goats or chickens or pigs or cows or deer or whatever.
Right.
And I loved it. And the old-timers taught me a lot of things. But the one thing they wouldn't teach you is how to make the beans. They'd show you just about anything else.
Not the beans, though.
Not the beans.
Not sure why beans are such a secret in Texas. I thought it was going to be because you don't want to give the boy the brisket secrets. But bean secrets are held tight to the vest. Then I asked Fred about how the guru actually came to be.
Well, I'm a manufacturer. Manufacturer, especially valves and controls. And I've done that my whole career. My whole career has been around temperature control and the process, chemical industry, pulp, paper, pharmaceutical. We do some medical gizmos and what have you.
And how does the idea of the barbecue guru actually present itself to you?
Well, we had a customer who was looking for a mechanical damper control. So we manufacture something called a thermaloid sensor controller, and we incorporated that into a little damper device that would shut off on rising temperature. In order to do the test, used a barbecue pit because that's a good source of fire and heat. So as we were doing this test, we had it, of course, totally instrumented with data recorders and data loggers and that sort of thing. So when, in fact, somebody in the plant complained that, you know, the smoke was blowing back in the assembly area, we put a fan on the cooker to blow the smoke out the back, and we had it trained kind of on the intake damper, and we noticed that while the device modulated almost totally off, the instruments didn't move. So we thought, well, how interesting is that? Let's try modulating the fan. So we did that, and that did give us some level of control. And we borrowed some circuitry out of another device that we make called an EMPC, electronically modulated position control, and we applied that to running a little fan, a little computer-type fan, and lo and behold, we were able to do some pretty good control. So then we spent about 6 months watching fires burn, wood, charcoal, different size cookers, and we came up with the right control strategy, the right algorithms, the right bandwidths, and so forth, and we were able to make the device control very accurately, regardless of the size of the cooker, regardless of the size of the fire. So that became the original barbecue guru.
So a little insight as to how the guru actually came to be. And then, of course, once they were satisfied with the product, the next thing to do is bring it to market. So I asked Fred, when was the first time you got this guru out and in front of people?
We introduced it 3.5 years ago at the National Barbecue Association, or the NBBQA, in Jacksonville, Florida. And at that time, why, people kind of laughed and poo-pooed the idea. But after a few people tried it and began to post on the forums, they realized, boy, this thing really does work. So the rest is kind of history, as they say. But, you know, I guess there was a time when rowboats didn't have anything but oars and oarlocks, but then some smarty pants figured out to put a motor on the back of it. Now I think you'd be pretty hard pressed to find a boat that doesn't have a motor. But
sure.
You know, you got your choice. You can run your pit manually. When you decide you want to go to bed and or do something else, you can plug in your guru and you're good to go.
All right. So inevitably, and I've talked with a number of people, especially maybe 4 years ago, like just when I was getting into the podcast world here, a lot of people, as he said, poo-pooed the barbecue guru and automatic temperature control devices, and it was somehow cheating. So I asked him, what's this deal with a barbecue guru, and is it do you consider it cheating?
Well, you know, there's a lot of purists. I think that all those purists ought to throw their thermometers away first, and then maybe they ought to squat over a hole in the ground and poke at their meat with a crooked stick or something, because that's real barbecue, you know, if you want to get right down to it. You know, when I first started cooking barbecue, nobody could afford a thermometer. You know, they were process plant type thermometers that you needed, and nobody could afford them. So we went by feeling the meat and what it looked like, and maybe we'd cut off a little piece here and there to see how it was coming along. But, you know, that's fine if you want to do that, and there's certainly nothing wrong with being a purist. But on the other hand, convenience is a great thing, too. And if you got something else you need to do, this is the device.
All right, so there's his thoughts on cheating, which was, at that point, pretty awesome to get that kind of a reaction out of him. Talk to him about upcoming products that he had in the works as well, because, as he said, life was an experiment.
Oh, absolutely. We got a number of things. We got charcoal-fired steam table trays that double as you can cook on them. You can heat water in them to wash up with. You can use them for a conventional steam table. You fire them up and they run for many, many hours, very even temperature. That's a fun thing. We've got water heaters that we're making, charcoal-fired water heaters, where you can use pressure of the hose. You just hook it up and turn it on, and it automatically makes 15 gallons of water at 140 to 150 degrees every hour. So you can pipe that right into an ice chest. Now you got a big reservoir of plenty of nice hot water to wash up with. It's really nice at a outing or competition or camping or whatever to have a plentiful supply of hot water to take a bath with or wash your dishes with or whatever. And, you know, no danger of propane, just a real nice charcoal-fired water heater. And then we have in the mill a charcoal maker. So if you're out somewhere where you can't get good lump charcoal, you can make your own while you're cooking a cook or whatever. You know, you're making some brisket or butts, and at the same time, you can be making you a load of charcoal for your next few cooks.
I want to know where that product is. I think I've asked Bob Trudnack on that a couple times. I don't know if that one ever made it to market or not, but that would have been... Can you imagine making your own lump charcoal while you were cooking? I think that's like cyclical and like green and great all at the same time. So, I mean, the mind was always working with Fred, always trying to think of what that next great product it is. And so we'll end tonight by Fred signing off.
Fred, thanks for taking the time out tonight to talk to us about all of your products and continued success, and we'll be talking to you down the line.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity.
There he is. Class. Straight up class. Great guy. Very successful in business as an inventor. And just as a human, I mean, just look at all of the well wishes and condolences that he was getting after he passed away on Friday. And again, really does reserve a special spot in my heart because of what he has done and helped with the show, not just because he sponsors it, but feedback from the show and being able to do that. I mean, listening back to that interview now 7 years ago and just kind of reliving that interview again and hearing him talk. I mean, I was so bad at hosting, and he really made that interview so much easier for me to do and really kind of jacked me up and got me propelled to continue to do these interviews. So, you know, I owe him on many different levels. And again, true barbecue visionary for sure. Great guy, unquestionable. And, you know, we have lost a true barbecue visionary and a barbecue legend, not afraid to say it. I know a lot of you guys feel the same way. So I just want to share that with you guys. I'll put the whole interview up on the feed some point tomorrow. So let me do this. Got the last summer shandy of my first for the summer. And Fred, I'm going to tip it up to you, buddy. To Fred, you will be missed, and you are left. All right, let me do the last read of the night here, and then we'll wrap it up. All right, gang, let me get the proper picture up here real quick. Here he is. Gang, if you are like me, then you're always trying to think of ways to step your barbecue and grilling gang up a notch. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We're always looking to get that edge. And there's no better or easier way to do that than by adding a little Butcher Barbecue to your arsenal. Need some validation before you head over to the ButcherBBQ.com website to order? Fine. How about three winners of the Houston Livestock Barbecue Contest have all used and won with Butcher Barbecue? Top teams in KCBS, FBA, IBCA, they use Butcher Barbecue products. How about the fact that the pitmaster of Butcher Barbecue uses Butcher Barbecue products, right? All that did was get them third overall in KCBS Team of the Year for 2011. Need I say more? We all know Butcher is well known for their injections, the pork, the beef, and now this prime injection, which has combined all the things loved with the beef injection, using its award-winning flavor enhancer and its ability to keep your brisket juicy. They have combined it with what has become the competition standard in beef flavor, available for sale right now on ButcherBBQ.com. Now, perhaps you're looking for a go-to rub or sauce. Friends, you've hit the mother lode here. Butcher's Barbecue has a full line of award-winning rubs. One of my personal favorites is that steak and brisket rub, but grab some honey rub, which has garnered a lot of internet attention, especially last year. Try that premium rub, which is especially designed to be used with Butcher's injections if you inject. A perfect 1-2 punch to impress judges and friends alike. And of course, last but not least, that Butcher's Barbecue sweet barbecue sauce. Look, when it comes to sauces, nobody gets as picky as me. But Butcher's sweet sauce wins in every category for me. Not overly sweet, a nice slice of tang, just the right amount of back-end heat. And for crying out loud, no liquid smoke. Dave took the time and effort to make a quality sauce and did not take the easy way out and drop that crap in his sauce, better known as liquid smoke. Grab a bottle of six because these will go fast. Your kids will eat it. Your wife will eat it. You will eat it. And no worries on breaking the bank when it comes to shipping either. Orders $55 or less ship at 7 U.S. bones. $56 and up ship at $9. Cheap. Head on over to ButcherBBQ.com and stock up right now. That's ButcherBBQ.com. Butcher Barbecue. Always trust your butcher. All right, we're going to wrap up the show. I'm a little long right now, so we'll tighten it up. We'll be back right after this. Stick around.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, well, we're right at the top of 11 o'clock here. 3 Years Hollow's new EP is out. That's who's playing right behind me. Check that out. I'll link that up if you guys that like alternative rock and roll. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the look back at the Fred Perkle interview. Again, I'll put that on the feed. That was like the fourth podcast I'd ever done. I can't guarantee that those other ones are going to make it, though. 12 will stay locked in the vault for now. People want me to release the very first one I ever did. Let me tell you, worst idea ever. Worst idea ever. And by worst idea ever, I mean worst show ever. So thanks for sticking with me through that. And listening, you know, getting a lot of good emails and positive response in the chat room. A lot of people never heard that interview, obviously. So to hear Fred again talking about the passion, where he came from, how he got the name, the business, how they introduced it, how it works, all that great stuff, really good to hear again. Also, want to thank Bruce Bjorkman for coming on. Segment before that, talking about the Mac cookers. MacGrills.com is the website. Before that, Fred Bernardo, smoking guitar player, TastyLicksBBQ.com. Talked about the Todd Johns Pork Pulling Plowboy class. Looked at a bunch of pictures. Fred busted out a tune, which potentially could be a hit. All right, it's not going to be a hit.
Get that freak stuff out of here.
What was it? One way. Something like that. Also, very first guest tonight, Harry Sue, who I believe I should have congratulated on being engaged. Maybe I shouldn't have. No, congratulations. 4 in a row wins for grand champion. Heading to the Jack Daniels. Sorry, trying to point to the Jack Daniels. And he covered a number of different topics, so I appreciate him taking the time out to do that. Okay, in closing, let me remind you to help you to control the rusty grill grate population. If you have raw cast iron and you use them, reseason them after each and every use. As it starts to cool down, and by that I mean the grill grates, hit them with a little Pam. Hit them with a little bit of Crisco. Let it burn back in so you get years of maintenance-free, trouble-free service. No rust. Don't want the rust. I lift one up again to the founder and creator of the Barbecue Guru, Fred Perkel, Shotgun Fred. Here's to you, buddy. And finally, last but not least, September 11th, 2001. I will never forget. Until next Tuesday, and that show is jammed already, this is your program host and proud U.S. American, Greg Rempe. Good night now.